B-Pod Studios.
They bring you insight like no one else can.
Who cares? It was a bad take. I've got a million of them.
Zolak.
That's a twerk.
And Bertrand.
We can make a laundry list of horrible takes.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
High in the air, left center field. Robert is over, and Luis Robert finishes off a Chicago White Sox sweep.
They were down 0-2 in this series. Today they were down their top two defensemen. Today, Brad Marchand, 2 goals and 3 assists. And this series is tied at 2 games apiece.
The Bucks have held on by the skin of their world championship teeth, and they have taken a 2-1 lead in the series. The final score, Milwaukee 103, Boston 101.
Let's get right back to your calls. 1 o'clock hour here on Zolak and Bertrand. Go to our website, 98.5thesportshub.com, for all the latest coverage on the Bruins and Celtics and their playoff runs. And if you're just trying to keep your schedule straight, okay, get it all figured out at 98.5thesportshub.com. And that's where you can stream us and download our app as well. Let's go. I just want to do it in order of the weight here because we've had so many calls. Brent in New Hampshire on the Celtics. Brent.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
So, yeah, the non-shooting call on Smart wasn't great. It looked like he was squaring up and clearly shooting. But that wasn't the call I had a problem with. It was the charge call on Grant Williams, and mainly because they went back and, you know, we challenged that call.
Yep.
And then Steve Javy came back and gave an explanation. Correct me if I'm wrong, but if a foot is sliding, and I looked it up, and his body torso is changing angle.
Yeah, no, letter of the law, they got it wrong. But this is what I've said a million times in my life. When are you just going to accept that it's a very subjective game that NBA officials play? Yeah, by letter of law. I don't know why we even have reviews.
They even tried to look at
stuff like this if we're not going to change the call.
I thought they tried to look at it at two different angles, too, to make sure that he didn't get a push. Was it Portis who they thought potentially may have pushed him, you know, down the lane to sort of force it? So I thought they came back with a ruling that
I thought you were talking about the
Grant Williams charge call, right? Is that what he's talking about?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
I thought he was going down a lane. He was called for a charge. The Portis was behind him, but they were looking to see if
he's talking about the one that got... Either way.
All right.
The foot is moving.
Yeah. I mean, we could sit here and go through, you know, every single slow-mo of guys stepping in. And did he establish ground? Was the foot sliding? Was the foot moving?
Right. And so if you slow it down and you watch it in slow motion and you're on instant replay, you're going to see it move.
Yeah.
And I think that they say, well, in real time, it looked fine.
It's like looking at a catch.
It was moving all that much.
It's like looking at a catch.
So why are we reviewing these things?
Right.
Let's not review them.
Right. If it's not technically to the letter of the law, like, okay, that's a charge. I'm with you on that.
The thing that I ask for in this very subjective game of NBA officiating is that there's some sort of consistency within the game with what they're going to call and what they're not going to call. That's all I look for.
Well, it feels like like in real time, too, with Giannis, like he's so damn big and explosive that they get caught up watching the game. Wow, look at that move. Well, yeah, he did get fouled. I mean, Smart stepped in twice. They had no calls.
Jeff in Nashua. Hey, Jeff.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi.
Celtics third quarter. When they came out, their first offensive possession of the third quarter, Jalen has the ball on the right wing, dribbles, and then tries to make a pocket pass to Robert Williams, who was either not ready for it, just missed it, or whatever. And the turnover happens. Those things happen. But Jalen's reaction is what was concerning to me at the time. To throw his hands up and be exasperated with Robert Williams at that time is not great leadership. And that's not what you need right then. I don't think you wanted to be screwing up. And I do think it set the tone for the third quarter, and that just, they had to dig their way out of that. And I just think he's got to just continue to grow and evolve. But they got to get it tonight. Anyway, take care, boys.
All right, Jeff.
Yeah, Williams. Robert Williams.
Straight-based call for Jeff today.
A good one.
That's like
I like his non-scripted stuff. He's always got a decent take. He's right about that. And I would also say, what's up with Rob Williams?
He took a whack to the head, man. One elbow, boy. He got hit pretty hard.
Does he look like he's operating at full speed?
No. No, he looked better. He looked better earlier in the series. He looked better at the end of, the brief stint he had. Yes, the Brooklyn. Looked more explosive.
Yeah. You got to wonder if he's getting sore now that he's put some minutes on that knee, if it's catching up with him a little
bit.
Maybe. Jake in Boston. Hey, Jake.
Boys, what gossip this weekend?
Oh, what do you got? That's good. I like this stuff.
And I've got a major bomb for the 20% of your audience you peeled from Barstool when Nardini botched the serious deal. First of all, Tyler Milliken. How do you like Tyler Milliken getting swept by the White Sox as the owner and his sugar baby spend Xander Bogaerts' contract money at the Derby, losing their money on that 90-1 shot? Because that was all over Linda Pattuzzi's feed this weekend as your team gets embarrassed yet again at Fenway Park. Two, September 10th, 2023, mark the date, Hard Rock Stadium. If he's still the head coach and doesn't get fired after a 5-12 season, Bill Belichick and the Patriots at Tom Brady and the Miami Dolphins. Brady, Sean Payton, Stephen Ross, all gallivanting together this weekend at F1. And then, Zoe, since you're wondering.
Hey, real quick. Hold on a second.
How do you know the date?
Hold on a second here, Jake. What was it? What was the monetary thing that Ross made more money at the FS1 race than he would an entire home gate for a season?
Oh, F1, there's so much money spent at F1. I know people who were throwing around seven figures on hospitality alone for that race.
Who was Brady with? He was with Jordan. Brady was with Jordan Beckham, and who was the other guy?
Lewis Hamilton.
Okay.
Lewis Hamilton's like the big F1 guy right now. This was a star bleeping type of event. But Brady was there. Obviously, Stephen Ross was there with his house. And Sean Payton was also there. By the way, the date, September 10th, that's 2023. That's a Sunday night. That's Sunday Night Football because neither the Patriots or the Dolphins are winning the Super Bowl this weekend. And when Tom Brady goes to Miami and plays against a divisional foe in week 1, of course NBC is going to want that game. So that's why
I just wanted to know how you would make it. Great. I just want to know how you made the calculation, but that makes sense now. Okay.
And then lastly, the real drama was with Barstool over the weekend. I don't know if you were paying attention to all that, but there's this massive Barstool love triangle that came free over the weekend. Casey Smith, NBC Sports Boston, her sister's in the middle of it. Marty Mush is in the middle of it.
Whoa. What's going on here?
Yeah, and?
I didn't pay attention to
why
this.
Why do I care?
You care because it's entertaining. The other thing is
I can't keep up with it anymore.
I saw the Barstool guys were in Vegas for the MMA.
I cannot do it. And I love Barstool going back to when they were a print magazine.
There's so much involved
that you would pick up in the front hall at the place.
Yeah.
Which is no longer there.
2 Broad Street.
Rest in was it 2?
2 Broad Street.
All right.
Yeah.
Rest in peace to the place. But you used to walk into the place and they had like that little, I don't know, alcove, whatever you want to call it.
There was a little desk there
and a little stack of the Barstool sports newspapers there. Now, I can't keep up with all the stuff there. Whoever they're raging against.
They got their hands in everything.
Whoever they're in a fight with or who is who with all. I mean, they get a million people that work for them now. I can't keep up.
It's the opposite of The Young and the Restless. You used to be able to go back and watch Young and the Restless 5 years after seeing it, and it's like, oh, okay, Victor's with this person now, and okay, that's fine. You miss a month or two, and you have no idea. You don't know what they're talking about. You don't know what they're beefing about.
Susan Lucci on that?
Young and the Restless?
Did she the one who never won that award?
I don't think so. I think that was something else.
She's done a soap opera actress.
Give me the days of Portnoy and Jerry Thornton and Manzo and,
chaining themselves to Goodell's office.
No, I'm going even before that. I mean, but even at that point, you could still keep up. But now it's a young man's game.
Now it's like, what pizza joint they going
can't
to
keep
next?
Up. I can't keep up with that. Too much.
I love it.
I got a pizza. I think I could catch up pretty quick.
If it was what?
If it were a pizza review, I think I could catch up on that pretty
quickly. I still love the pizza. I still watch pizza reviews. That I can consume and understand.
The best one is
no
in New York.
No pun intended.
Yes.
When the bums start yelling at him in New York, but he did one with the Sbarro, the single slice with the Sbarro triangular box. It didn't grade out well, but like, Pepsi and that. $7. $7 for a slice down there. That's crazy.
Well, that's real New York pizza. Sbarro.
It's like Fiddler on the Roof.
Linda Pattuzzi.
Now I got to be worried about a love triangle? What are we?
Love triangle. Nah, just not doing I don't even know what he's talking about.
Now we're worried about love triangles.
I understood three words of that.
Came in hot, though.
Sure did. Sure did. So the owner of the Red Sox was at the Derby this
weekend.
He was
at the Derby. Yeah, she had her Derby hat and all that. Yeah, he looked good. He looked like Curious George is, you know,
I
again.
Wish Jones were. Every time we talk Henry, I just wish Jones
he
were.
Had that, he had that Curious George hat on again. Should I wear the light suit?
Record that and send it to us, Jones.
Right, right. Don't give us Amazing
not offensive,
Grace.
Not but offensive no. songs.
Please. Everybody that goes there.
Jones, a like, quick update from the Derby, if you could, kid.
Where's like a guy like that stay?
I see you've purchased a delightful new chapeau to celebrate the running of the thoroughbreds.
148th. Running of the horse race.
That's what I need. Oh, man. I do see even Derby calls on the board today. We'll talk about it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Opinionated.
Aquarius is nautical.
And passionate.
Ignorance is bliss.
Solak and Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody doing 122 Solak and Bertrand hanging out with you here on a Monday, doing little B's, little C's, little Red Sox. Well, that ain't football at all today.
Oh, well, the day doesn't call for it.
I know. So. See, real quick, there's one football note.
What?
See, Richard Sherman, Amazon's going after him.
Okay,
to do some broadcasting, which I think is interesting. Sherman be good. Smartest guy in the room, one of those guys.
Sure. Okay. Melissa in North Andover. Melissa.
Oh, hey, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're doing good. How are you?
Hey, real quick. First of all, just for future reference, Susan Lucci was on All My Children.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say Days of Our Lives, but...
As the world turns.
It's a different show. Few quick things about the Kentucky Derby winner. Let's hope he wasn't drunk, because Baffert really screwed up everything last year. Also, these horses used to be allowed to gallop after winning, which takes the adrenaline down with him. The outrider that they had is the top in the country. That horse has never seen it. That horse only wanted to kill anything that was in its way, which is why it won.
Jesus, so you got a crazy-ass horse.
Why don't they let them gallop anymore?
Because of the time restrictions for TV coverage.
Oh, that's bogus.
Oh, I would stick around. To watch
You mean gallop around the track?
Yeah,
and work
lap.
It out.
Yeah, usually they're allowed to take another lap or two at a trot, at a canter, at a gallop, and that brings them down a little bit better.
And so instead, you've now got NBC. Sorry, NBC. We're now on NBC Sports Boston on our simulcast, saying that after you watch their coverage of like 6 hours leading up to a 90-second race, that at that point, then they're ready to be done with it. Like, hurry up already.
Get the barn mate. Get it with the barn mate. Let's go.
Yeah, we got a golf tournament to show.
Them horses biting
Ain't
each other.
Ain't that something? Yeah. Melissa, thank you. Matt in Charlotte. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how you doing? Just following up on that Debbie mention. I mean, it's not dressage. So, you know, you have to cut it off.
Is right that away. Right? Thank you, Matt. Call us back.
Not dressage?
I don't know what he was saying.
I think he had a massage, or the horse didn't wear its corsage right. Maybe they pinned it
did
on.
Did your wife used to do dressage, or was that the like show jumping? What did she do?
She did ride. Yeah. She didn't do any show jumping. What'd she do? Just like to ride.
And what is dressage?
I don't
know. It's a horse thing, isn't it?
I don't know, but that Melissa sounded like she had some horse background there, a little canter, a little gallop. Those are horse terms.
Harry in the car would like to defend horse Tyler Milliken. Okay. Harry.
Oh. Hey, how you doing? Hey, so.
Yes.
Milliken's giving me a headache. All these stats, and then Beadle comes back with all these stats.
Yeah.
Here's one stat that's staring us in the face.
What is it?
If Alex Cora shaves off that beard and goes back to the way he looked before, his winning percentage is better. He's got to get rid of it Tuesday night. That's how baseball, every sport, you need to do. You can see it.
Something crazy. Wait, shave a beard. Yep.
See it when he shaves it.
He's a young man still. That beard makes him look older than he is.
The beard ages.
Pretty weak
him.
Defense of Milliken right there.
I don't think it really sounded like a defense at all of Milliken, but Milliken put that on the board as a defense of Milliken.
Yeah, I expected a bit of different take than that.
I expect
wrong.
Nick, Nick in Providence. Hey, Nick.
Hey, guys. Tyler is exactly, you know, you can hear it in how he's viewing these players is exactly the problem with all of baseball, is that the batter who hits for average and doesn't strike out is getting ruled out of the game for guys who don't hit for shit. Sorry, pardon my language.
Whoa!
And literally we'll allow it. Are striking out hand over fist. Hand over fist, they're striking out. But they're OPS. Oh, they're OPS because one every three
OPS
at-bats
plus.
Hit a home run.
Yeah, right. OPS
and they
plus.
Get four bases per three at-bats. Like, Jesus, get out of here with that. Andrew Benintendi, unequivocally, is a better player than Hunter Renfro. Unequivocally, I don't care about the effing home runs.
I would say year over year, he's, you know.
For his career, 100%.
Big picture, yes.
No one's disagreeing with that. It's just last year, who was the better player? It was Hunter Renfro. It's not even a conversation.
By 8%.
Well, it's a conversation.
Based on where Andrew Benintendi is, Andrew Benintendi is now, I think it's part of the conversation.
We're talking last year. Who was the better player? It was Hunter Renfro.
That's because we look at it in splits, right, in baseball. Again, did they pull the plug too early on that guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
They did.
Maybe.
They did.
Looks like it.
One got us Josh Winkowski, one got us Jackie Bradley.
Good old Winkowski. Going to be great. Terry in Connecticut. Hi, Terry.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
I want to talk about the Celtics.
Okay.
Jason Tatum was absolutely terrible, and I'm not just talking about his field goal percentage, but if he wants to be an MVP-type player and an all-NBA-type player, you have to want the ball. He did not want the ball at all. He might as well have been in the corner in the fetal position. When we went down by 14, I was like, this game's over, and then we came back because Al Horford and Marcus Smart and those guys are hitting shots. So if he wants to be the man, he has to take the ball.
I think you're right about this, Terry. I think he was rattled at certain points in that game.
He was frustrated.
In the sense that he was like making an extra pass that he didn't necessarily need to make because he knew he didn't have it.
He didn't want to take the shot.
Yeah.
You're right.
He didn't want to shoot his way out of it.
I just want to tell you, I think he deferred to Al Horford, who was standing in the corner where he had an open shot on that left wing. I'm like,
yep.
Holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
Take that shot.
And he deferred.
Yeah.
Because he...
It's not his night, though. But to his credit, he knows, I don't have it. Or maybe something's bugging him.
Like what?
Like a wrist or something.
Oh, you mean physically?
Yes.
I think he meant like, oh, yeah, he's upset.
No. I'm not going to sit here and kill Tatum all day today.
We didn't kill him all day.
No, because I don't expect that to happen, what happened on Saturday, to him again.
I'm more interested in him responding to it than I am the fact that he had a horrible game.
Respond how? Just be on point or be more assertive?
Have a 40-point Jason Tatum kind of night.
Don't float to look for the shot. Go to the rim. Challenge them a little bit. You're our most explosive player. You are. I know you're taller and lankier and you like the shot, but see him do a little bit more of what Giannis does.
Rich in Rhode Island. Hey, Rich.
Hey, guys. Hey, how does Dalbec stay in the lineup? I mean, the guy is just literally lost to the plate.
Who are you putting
in? Can't make contact. And now, and I called last week about Jackie Bradley. So you got Jackie Bradley automatic out, right, Zoe? You got Dalbec out, and now with Trevor Story, you got out. So you got two-thirds of the lineup all outs. How do you survive with that?
Got to call the kid up. That's like one of those shake-up type moves, right, Tyler?
Shiggy, I'd
like to see him, but it seems like they're going to take it a little bit slower with him.
He had another home run Sunday, didn't he?
Yep, up to six home runs.
Yeah, the home runs aren't everything,
I don't care about that.
Overall, the walk rate's really good. He's not striking out a ton. It's about 23%, but you want to see him make adjustments a couple times through a lineup. Or, you know, against different pitchers. After
we're at the point in baseball where, and this is not a commentary on Casas or anything to do with the Red Sox, where 23% is like good.
I think you're the only person who pronounced his name correctly.
It's good. That's because I'm making an effort to.
Yeah.
Because
Casas. Everybody says Casas.
Because thanks to Tyler Milliken, the whole world has been screwing it up.
I wouldn't blame me. I think even the prospect evaluators have been doing it.
People follow you.
I don't hear any prospect evaluators. I wouldn't know where to hear a prospect evaluator.
That's the problem.
No, you're right. That is the problem. Huh. Dominic in North Andover. Dominic.
Hey, I want to direct some things towards Milliken. You know, I follow him on social media and listen to what he says. But, dude, are we really that desperate we're going to bank on Casas coming up and changing the entire team? Like, most likely it's not going to work out. I don't care if he's hitting 250 in the minors and has six home runs. Whoop-de-doo. Like, I guarantee, like, that most likely doesn't work out. Why don't we get rid of – why don't we convince other teams that these prospects are so good and then get rid of them before they come up here, prove that they're bad, and then they're worth nothing. Also,
sell high.
Trade Chris Sale because I'm sick of waiting for him.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Nobody's taking Chris Sale. Listen, you shouldn't – number one, Tristan Casas coming up won't solve this lineup. You're going to have regulars like Alex Verdugo and Kike Hernandez actually do their job. That's the start of it. But when it comes to Tristan Casas, is he a guy who can get on base and actually has a plate approach? Thank you.
Casas.
Who has a plate approach? Yes. That's something this Red Sox lineup lacks. When Kyle Schwarber joined it last year and brought something similar, it was a big deal for them.
And he can actually play first base, which should not be discounted.
No,
because right now they don't have anyone who's actually capable of playing the position in the field.
But either way, Heimblum didn't build this roster enough outwards. It's not just that one solution isn't going to get you there, unfortunately.
There's a lot wrong with it. There's a lot wrong with this team. All right, headlines here with Hardy. We got one more segment of your calls. And today's takeaways just 20 minutes from now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Opinionated.
You like donuts? Nope.
And passionate.
We all know you're not the brightest bulb on the branch.
Okay? Brightest bulb on the branch?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sexy song. Really good. Really good.
This is like, yeah.
Your sexy lady song.
I was like,
if we're short on takeaways,
I got to come up with another
might
one.
Might have to break that one out again.
A new one. Add it to the greatest hits album.
You know what this is? This is a modern day version of the song that Cher turns on when she gets home from shopping.
Oh my God, when she has the red shoes and she gets the perm. And then they wondered, did you take the money?
And she turns on the radio and she's getting ready for the night they're going to the opera.
I forgot the deposit. What? I forgot the deposit.
Oh, my God, the deposit.
I knew she didn't steal it.
I knew that. Oh. And yesterday, it was so weird. And then we go to the bank and no deposit.
Loretta, I don't have my hand. Johnny, it took my hand. Johnny's got... It's good
Johnny
steak.
Has his hand. Johnny has his bride. What do you want me to do? Take away my heartache and forget? Ooh.
It's a good steak. Like a medium rare. Eat it. It's good for your blood.
I like it well done. You'll have this one bloody to feed your blood.
And deleting that one now. It's been ruined.
How do you remember these movie quotes?
What are you talking about? It's unbelievable. One of the greatest movies of all time.
Moonstruck. Definitely.
Beetle's
I like when the old man walks the dog.
You've never seen Moonstruck, Beetle? Oh, my God.
Great. Great movie.
Great movie.
Give it a chance.
All right.
Give it a chance.
Nicolas Cage and Cher.
Nicolas Cage and Cher.
Was that Danny, what's his name?
Danny Aiello.
Danny Aiello.
Olympia Dukakis.
Great lineup.
Okay.
You guys are really selling it, so.
Oh, it's a wonderful film.
I bake bread.
It's only John Henry baking bread.
They say bread is life.
Jones send anything over yet? No, nothing. Since Bobby Dalbec's 30-game hot streak last year, this from at Red Sox Stats on Twitter. He's gone 13 for 112 with 42 strikeouts. 43 strikeouts. Not a major league player. Nope. I don't think he's going to cut it at this level. I don't think it's going to work out for him.
Doesn't look like he has confidence either. Like, there's a fly ball down at right field line. He went over to the front row, and the next thing you know, he just puts his head down, jogs back to first base. Just doesn't look like he's into it. Like, lacks confidence. That's part of it.
Well, I can understand why, based on the way he plays.
But yeah. And, like, I don't know if you're getting catcalled from fans down there. Like, what's
going
on?
Is he even worth the time?
Like, he should have been traded this offseason.
People don't even care enough to boo him. They'll boo Trevor Story.
Well, yeah, he's got the target on him.
Yeah, he does. 617-779-0985. Dan is in the car. Hey, Dan.
Hey, fellas. Love the show. Celtics. Tonight, I was in the building in Milwaukee, game three. They had it. They had it the whole time. They got torqued. They're going to win tonight. They're going to come out with energy. They got to go small. Go small. Bring Rob off the bench. Go Horford at the five. Go Grant Williams at the four. Go small. Stretch the four more with Giannis with size and Lopez with size and Portis with size. Stretch the four. Give Tatum more room so that way when he drives in the paint, it's not 2 7-footers on him with Giannis and Lopez. One of them is going to be dragged out with Williams in the corner, and if they don't, it's an easy kick to that corner shooter. Bring Rob off the bench. You guys are right. Something's up with the knee. He's not 100%. You can tell how he was in February and how he was in March.
Yep.
How's the fan experience there?
Oh, it was unbelievable.
It looks like a cool place. Like I've seen...
It's a cool place. It's a different. I'm from Boston, so I mean, I'm born and raised, so. It's a different kind of environment. The people are different. I mean, I was in the front row, you know, yelling chirps left and right, and people are looking at me like I'm crazy.
Yeah.
They're much nicer. I saw
like they had a lot of older people like around the
Someone
around
tweeted
the
about a chant about the refs, like call it both ways or
refs,
something.
Refs, you suck. I heard those.
It was such a bad chant because in Boston, you're getting the BS chant.
You got F.U. Foster. Right
yeah.
That's what you get in Boston. You get F.U. Foster. There you get.
It seems like
call
it's.
Call it both ways. Call it both ways.
Please.
Like, what?
It's
what
like it seems like a St. Louis Cardinal baseball game
yes.
type crowd. Like
bingo.
Nice. Hey, welcome. Are you from Boston? Oh, nice. Where'd you stay? The old. Oh, they do an excellent breakfast.
Yeah. This is like the.
Have a good trip back.
Go to a Cubs game. You know, what time do
hope
we
hope to see you in the game?
Go Cubs.
Hope the series comes back.
Who's
here?
Singing the seventh inning stretch today?
Yeah. That Chicago's a little nuts. It seems like Milwaukee's nice.
That's a little same neck of the woods.
Fan experience. People taking pictures, posting them on social media. Like, yeah, you know, seems like all the Bucks pose with all the kids. Like they stop in. Not that the Celtics don't do that, but I just think it seems like it's more reachable there. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Mike and Brian.
Thunder sticks with the blow up things.
Mikey.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey
Beetle. I wanted to say one thing when. You guys were talking before about the Treese and your appreciation for kind of what he does on a daily basis. And your former teammates, the guys on the 2 o'clock show, Ding Dong and the Oompa Loompa, they compare him to a average player. Just, he's a nice player. He's a good player. It's like he thinks Bruins fans think that, as Felger's own words on Friday said, that we think he's the best player in his prime was the best player in the league. No one thought that. He was never Patrick Kane. He was never Eric Lindros. He was never Joe Sakic, Peter Forsberg, go down the line. But I'll tell you something, he was better defensively than every guy I just named. And why that doesn't matter is beyond me. What this guy has done for this franchise over the course of his career, okay, is done. He has given everything he has. And for as far as a two-way player goes, he is the best two-way centerman of all time. Hands down, not even an argument. No one said he was the best offensive player.
I agree all with right, that, what? Mike. Yeah. Mike's not wrong about this. I think there's a broader discussion about his career that I think we'll have at some point. Was Patrice Bergeron on that player because that's who he was at his core, or because he played for a franchise that wanted that out of him? And could he have ever become Sidney Crosby, or name whichever offensive player of his playing days you want to name? Could he have ever developed into one of those guys had he been given the opportunity?
There's so few of them, and it requires something else. And Beetle, if that's the case, if all they wanted was, you know, forwards to play two ways and be as defensive-minded as they are offensive-minded, then why hasn't every forward that came out of that same era, you know, like Bergeron? Because there were other guys who were offensively, you know, close to being that talented. I think that was probably in him more so than it was coaching. And yes, it absolutely fit the way the Bruins wanted to play the game, but I think that's what he was kind of wired to do anyway.
And then it was reinforced.
And by the way, if you want to discount Patrice, 2 o'clock, and you can keep the calls coming with Adam Jones. He's the same way.
Talk to him about it. What are you talking to us for? Yeah. We agree with you.
We love Patrice Bergeron. Who's the Oompa Loompa?
We love him.
Which one is Ding Dong and which one is the Oompa
Loompa? I'm guessing the Oompa Loompa's Maz.
Because he's shorter?
He's shorter than Felger.
All right. Maz isn't all that short.
No, but he's shorter than Felger probably by a couple of inches, right?
Sure.
Clip that. Thank you.
Not according to Matt.
See, Jim Lausteen.
No, like, where is he? Is he mad?
Lawson, no. Are thinking right now. We should rename the afternoon show.
John in the van. John.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Thanks for having me on. That thing that they said about Patrice not living up to his expectations, you know, in his second year against the Philadelphia Flyers, he took a wicked hit. He was out for like a couple of weeks with a mad concussion, and I think that kind of affected the way he played. I think if he didn't get that injury at the early side of his career, he probably would have been a better offensive player, but still would have been the defensive offensive guy that he turned out to be. I think Felger and Maz and those guys are wrong about their opinion of him. So I agree with what the other guy, caller, just said, but I think a lot of people forget about that. It was a pretty major injury he took in his second year.
John, you think he's done?
If he wants to be. I mean, if he wants to play, he's got more life. I think he could be.
Nobody is suggesting that he's done because he can't do it anymore. No, that's not what this is about.
No, it's the want.
Does he want to keep doing it? Or does he want to retire? Does he want to give it up? And if I were him, I would weigh the concussion stuff that's occurred in his career. The first one being as significant as it was also not his last one.
No, I mean, there was talk, too, of, you know, him not winning as many face-offs as he normally does. And, you know, a week ago, how'd everything look? You know, that line was not producing. You know? Things change in 3 days.
Yeah, I just think he's going to turn 37 this summer.
Yeah.
And while he sits there thinking about it this summer, about does he want to continue his career or not, he's going to factor in the team. He's going to factor in where they're at. I don't know that he wants to go elsewhere. But also, could you imagine having to sit there and factor in, like, the concussion injuries you've had and say, if I come back and I do it again and I keep playing at a point where I can walk away and I'm financially secure and my legacy is very much secure and I'm a Hall of Famer and all that great stuff, can you imagine coming back and suffering another one of those type of injuries at age 37, 38 that, you know, potentially alters your life down the road? Yeah. Like, would you forgive yourself for that?
You're making bank. Like, then it comes like, okay, was it worth the money? Was it worth the time and money? I try to squeeze one more year. I don't know. Like, you got to make that decision.
Squeezing out another year on what is not looking like. I know they've had two great games here, so it's a weird time to.
We do this a week ago. It's a different story. I mean, you know, after a loss, say he brings those kids to the podium. What are we thinking? Yeah,
mm-hmm. Could have been something in there. Could have been a message in there. Could have been a message in there.
Kids are all $92.5 million.
He's got plenty of money.
I felt like it would have been more.
Well, hockey doesn't make NBA salaries or baseball salaries.
I know that, but he's been up there for a while now. You know?
But you put some top 30 all-time in NHL earnings.
That's pretty good.
Good. And he could have a job with this team or another in 5 minutes. He'll still be employed in some fashion.
Imagine him down the road, like, as an analyst.
Could you see Patrice Bergeron down the road running a team?
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
Neely does it.
Yeah, I could see that.
Did we say that in the 90s with Neely? Yeah, you could see that.
He's got the right temperament for it. He's smart. Like, there's a lot that would work in his favor going into an executive type of role. Let's get to today's takeaways next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Here are Zolak and Bertrand.
Where else does that happen?
98.5, the Sports Hub. They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub. That's sweet.
All right, it's time for today's takeaways, brought to you by Waken 180 Weight Loss. Whether you're listening in Connecticut, Kentucky, or Canada, you can receive the same great weight loss results at the Waken 180's virtual program. Check it out online at waken180weightloss.com.
Well, speaking of that, we got a problem here in the office. That is, there's been a theft from the kitchen of salt and pepper. Someone has taken the salt and pepper shaker. Like, of all the stuff you could take, this is what someone has decided to remove from the kitchen and either take elsewhere in the building or take home.
This has happened before with ketchup. In multiple places. The other place and then now this building. I brought in ketchup before.
Condiment theft. It's a
What's
real
worse,
problem.
Salt and pepper? Taking someone's salt and pepper shaker that I am nice enough to allow everyone to use? And I just stack it in on a shelf? You see where the vinegar and oil is and the cayenne pepper. No one touching that. Well, you don't want the white distilled vinegar? You know, the balsamic. I bet if it was balsamic, you'd take it.
Do you find in any way this could be karma getting back at you for all the condiments that you have stolen over the years?
Where have I stolen condiments?
Stolen multiple things out of the refrigerator for years. Other people's mustard or dressings.
He didn't steal it. He used some of it, but he didn't steal the bottle and take it home.
I wouldn't take it home.
To use a little bit is acceptable. To take the salt and pepper out of the kitchen is not acceptable. And to go back to 2014, Scott, you were accused of stealing a slice of pizza off someone's desk.
Yeah, there was no accusation.
There was also security footage of you taking the slice of pizza off the desk.
And look, not to split hairs, but if somebody brings in a bottle of salad dressing and you use it...
Yeah.
That's, right, not a little bit. It's like a lot, like the whole bottle.
Yeah, you're using it. Okay, that's stealing. You maybe didn't take the bottle and take it home, but you're using something that doesn't
belong to you. You know what I have taken?
Everything.
This was at the other place. No. That was at the other place. I took one of Maz's pickles. I was hungry one day. I said, because Maz writes
his Did you
name.
Steal his shrimp out of the freezer?
God, no, that's disgusting.
He's still looking
that was
for the...
That was a major controversy well, when that happened.
That's expensive.
He lost his...
He blamed me.
When that happened,
he called me.
He called
me at home. I'm like, he's frozen shrimp.
You guys got Leroy tomorrow. I will not be here tomorrow.
All right. Oh,
that's right. Yeah.
Catch you on Wednesday. Leroy's going to
be ready.
There. He'll be ready to go. He'll have some thoughts on tonight's Celtics game. Felger and Maz coming your way next. Have a great afternoon.
Ding dong and Oompa Loompa?
Something like that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.